had been recommended by the physician, if they had prompted the patient to do the screening, and if there was follow-up to what, that's how we determined whether people had to be screened. It wasn't just, were you screened? We did ask that question on the follow-up, but the screening had to be documented.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're right on time. I'd like to thank the speakers for doing their duty. And. So, we have our next paper, and it's Ami Shah, who's with the Sinai Urban Health Institute in Chicago.
Thank you.
This advances, this goes back.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for this opportunity to share our work with you. I'm really pleased to be here. And happy Diwali to all of you. Those of you who know that is, it's our new year in India, so many people are celebrating.
Yay.
So happy Diwali. Thank you. So the goal of my presentation today is to examine whether Asians in Chicago are receiving appropriate cancer screening and how they measure in achieving the Healthy People 2010 goals. So I'll start by saying, of course, I have nothing to disclose. And acknowledging this amazing collaboration with many partners. I wanted to especially acknowledge the Asian Health Coalition for having the vision and the foresight and understanding the need for Asian data and taking the initiative to get the funding from the available funders and doing this. And of course, in collaborating with all the community partners that we have, they're all listed there and I'll talk about them soon. But they really represented the face of the project in the community, and unfortunately they aren't here today, but I really wanted to acknowledge them and make certain that you know that this was really a community-based initiative. Excuse me. So why did we choose to do this? Cancer is the leading cause of death for Asian Pacific Islanders, and yet Asian Pacific Islanders have some of the lowest screening rates compared to other ethnic and racial groups. Second, the Healthy People 2010 Goals Initiative has provided guidelines on how, as a nation, we can move towards how we can move towards improving health for all, including measures for increased cancer screening. However, during the last 2 decades, we've paid special attention on examining racial and ethnic health disparities. So the idea of eliminating disparities has been really important, and yet we don't even measure effectively disaggregated information around Asians. So there is a lack of information, especially population-level data, that would allow us to measure how well Asian populations are doing in meeting these cancer screening goals, especially at the county, city, or local level. To fulfill this need, we conducted a health survey. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. So the first thing we did was we selected 3 community areas. This is a map of Chicago. It's divided into 77 community areas, as you can see. And the 3 areas that were selected were based on high proportions of Asian populations, based on census data, but also based on our relationships with community-based organizations in those areas. So these are communities that wanted information about their about the communities that they served. So as you can see here, there's right down here. Is my mouse working? Yeah, there we go. So this is Armour Square. It has where Chinatown consists of. So there's a large Chinese population. Up to the north is the Uptown area where we did a survey with the Vietnamese population, and just west of there with the Cambodian population in Albany Park. And then, of course, just recognizing the 2 stars are the Sinai Urban Health Institute, where I work, and the Asian Health Coalition up north in Uptown. So the first thing we did was designed a survey. We worked with these community organizations to guide us in deciding which questions to ask. So we adapted many questions from existing surveys, translated, back-translated, and then, of course, conducted pilot studies or pilot surveys in the communities. The final instrument consisted of about 200 questions on over 20 different topics and took less than about an hour to complete. The entire process to get IRB approval took roughly 6 months. with all the translation, it took a long time. To administer the survey, we wanted to capture a representative sample. So because we wanted to do a population-based survey. Now, the question was, this is data from the census. We examined information for each community area. And for Armour Square, you can see about 60% of the population is Asian. And now we assume the majority of those would be Chinese. The others were a lot smaller, about less than 20% included an Asian population. So in addition, we just noted that the medium household income was quite low. The Uptown community and Albany Park communities were roughly about the same as the United States and Chicago. Now, of course, we don't know if that reflects the same for the Asian population because that's only 20%. But, that's what we have to work with. So the survey that was conducted in the Chinese population in Armour Square was a random household survey. Because the population was large enough, we were able to do that. So we selected four tracks with the highest proportions of Asians in that community area, and then randomly selected blocks. And of those blocks, we conducted the survey with every household. Eligibility criteria were for those adults that were 18 and over, of course, and were self-identified as Asians, spoke one of the languages in which the survey was administered, and lived in the area for at least 6 months. Next, continue on with the Chinatown. The administration of the survey, we completed the survey. There were 400 surveys that were done, and they were conducted. We partnered with the Chinese American Service League, which is our community-based partner there, as I mentioned. They really were the face of the project. So when interviewers went door to door, they represented themselves as being part of this organization that others in the community would recognize. In fact, one of our interviewers is here in here, is Will Chung in the back, if you want to raise your hand real quick. He was one of the seven interviewers that worked in that community, went door to door for about almost the time period there is November to Jan 2006 to 7 and then 7 to 8, and it was roughly about a year, and I think it was done that way because of funding constraints. But going door to door is very labor intensive, as you can imagine, and we were in the end actually successful in getting about 400 surveys. The response rates was roughly 70%, and the participation rate, which of those that we actually approached and were able to reach, 86% agreed. So that again showed that having the community partners involved really did help, and offering the survey in multiple languages or languages that were respectful to those communities. And so in the end, we did weighting based on probability of selection, and of course we then believe that this is truly a representative sample of the Asian population in Armour Square. The second survey that was done in the Cambodian and Vietnamese populations were a little more challenging, so we had to be creative in how to find a representative sample. So what we did was we did a random respondent-driven sampling, which is a new technique in doing population sampling, although in being here I'm seeing that it has been done in Asian populations and it's certainly being tested. And this is, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is the idea of finding a random sample using social networks. And what we did was we looked at, we identified seeds, is what they call them, based on common surnames. So you get a full list from a telephone directory of people that are either have common Cantonese, Cambodian names or common Vietnamese names, randomly selected those seeds. And then for each seed that agreed to participate, then you have them recruit three eligible peers. And eligibility is then determined by whether or not they self-identify as being Cambodian or Vietnamese, or 18 years or older, speak one of the languages, and of course then present with a coupon because they were then referred to come in. So it's basically a snowball sampling, but used with an initial randomization. The survey was then administered at one of the community-based organizations in their respective communities. So when they received a coupon, they were asked to come in there. It was done by staff trained at each community-based organization, and they received $20 for their participation, and for each recruit, about $5. So it's the same fee that they received for the Chinatown community. In the end, we had about 250 Vietnamese surveys, 150 Cambodian, and we're able to weight the data using RDSAT, which is a respondent-driven sampling weighting plan. And in the end, again, we really believe that we had a representative sample for the Vietnamese and Cambodian populations. So to show some basic results, the survey results indicate that, I'm not going to go through all the details here, but just some demographics to point out, we did see that the income levels were quite low. If you look at Uptown and Albany Park in particular, that seemed to be relatively, the median household income for Chicago in the United States is roughly 40, and yet here we're seeing that the vast majority have a median household income, or their income was less than $30,000. We also noted that the vast majority were foreign-born, and their years lived in these communities for more than 5 years. And not on there, actually, and something that noteworthy, again, is that most of the surveys were done in their respective language, which I wanted to point out, because these surveys are not traditionally done. So if you look at BRFIS or NHIS, they're not traditionally done in any other language except Spanish and English. So for people in these survey data, really, everyone conducted in their native language, which indicates that they're probably missing out on those people when we look at the other data, which is traditionally used in the United States and BRFIS for the state level. So just to present some quick results, this is the age-adjusted percent of women that were 40 years and older who had a mammogram in the last 2 years. The first three bars represent the Chinese, Cambodian, and Vietnamese populations compared to the U.S., Asians, and then the United States to the far right. And as you can see, the bar across is the healthy people goal of 70. None of the Asian groups meet that goal, and none in even the U.S. Asian data. The Cambodian group seems to have the lowest rate. Similarly, for the age-adjusted percent of women who had a pap smear in the last 3 years, this ranged from 43% to 71% for each of the Asian groups, showing and indicating vast differences, as you can see, that calling for a need for disaggregated data. And again, none of them are reaching the healthy people goal of 90%. Lastly, for colorectal cancer, this was a little bit, the ranges were similar, so there wasn't as much of a substantial difference that we see here, but the Asian data certainly are much lower compared to the U.S. and the healthy people goal of 50%. And just, I noted, so we did some bivariate analysis and didn't put in too much detail here, but there were some differences in outcomes based on their sociodemographic factors, and you could read through them quickly, but the point here is just to show that there are the determinants in which people that affect whether or not women get their cancer screening or men get their colorectal cancer screening really varied by each group, and that just speaks to the cultural differences and the availability of services within those areas, and certainly needs to be considered. So summary findings is that we conclude that the Chinese, Vietnamese, and Cambodian populations certainly are not reaching the healthy people goal. The Vietnamese women have higher rates, but not high enough, clearly. And even though, and they were actually some of the poorest groups. And it's interesting because they were the poorest group, and yet they were in a community that had a high income. So it might be that the resources in there are the ones taking advantage of it. And then lastly, data suggests that, the U.S. Asian data certainly mask variations within Asian subgroups and call for disaggregated data. I think this also reveals important variations and dispels the myth of the model minority that often Asians are put into. Just some general challenges in doing survey data collection, especially in trying to get a representative sample for Asians. RDS is certainly a new methodology. It hasn't been tested. We don't have a representative population to compare it to, so there's no reference population, rather. And the exact representation of it is unknown. And, of course, the usual biases that one faces when they do surveys. The implications of these data are very important, I think, especially for Chicago. Never before have such population-level data been available. Evidence calls for greater federal grants and programs to improve cancer screening in these communities, especially targeted and culturally appropriate. And lastly, it allows the Asian population for the first time to enter the dialogue on racial and ethnic disparities both in Chicago and nationally with accurate and disaggregated data. Now, this is not just for cancer screening because there was several topics covered on the survey, and so this population will be able to advocate on their own behalf. And I leave you with this quote from Dr. Walter Hsu that we measure what we value and value what we measure. This is Dr. Walter Hsu is a former APHA president, and he said this about 4 or 5 years ago, and it really stuck to me because it allows us to strive to identify creative methods of gathering population-level data for Asian subgroups, both to respect cultural differences, but also just because it's simply the right thing to do. So thank you.
questions? Yes.
So